Pirkei Avot? And the answer is Pirkei Avot, the chapters, usually translated the chapters of the fathers, but it's not correct. Avot literally means, as we see by the laws of Shabbat and other places, 39 Avot Melachot. There are 39 major principles of work on Shabbat. So Avot are used as the word for major principles. And minor principles are Toldot, which are children. So you have the major principles and you have the Toldot, which are the minor principles, which derive from the major principles. So when he talks about Pirkei Avot, we're talking about the ethics, the major principles of ethics. Now what's interesting is, when the rabbis wrote Pirkei Avot, where did they put it? They put it in the Mishnah. Where in the Mishnah would you put it? If I was putting it in the Mishnah, I'd put it right at the beginning of the Mishnah. Now it's interesting, because the rabbis have, and they always do this, they put the most important information towards the end, for some reason.
Okay.
It's like the Torah, right? The Torah puts the most important information where? At the end or in the middle, doesn't put it at the beginning, right? How do we know? Because V'ahavta l'reacha kamocha is in the middle of the Torah. It's not, it should be right at the beginning of the Torah. The whole Torah, the bottom line of the Torah is V'ahavta l'reacha kamocha. Should be the beginning, it's not. Same thing applies to the Mishnah. Mishnah should put the most important information in the beginning. It doesn't. It's so confusing. It's usually in the seventh chapter. Usually in the seventh chapter of something. I've always noticed, I don't know why, there's a pattern. It's usually, you're learning one tractate and then you find the major, or say you're learning the laws of Brachot, right? Now, let's take an example. Brachot, the Mishnah Brachot. The, all the Brachot, the laws of Brachot are in the sixth chapter. But it's called Brachot. But the laws of Brachot, so it talks about the Shema, it talks about Tefillah, but the Brachot are really in the sixth chapter. So why? The rabbis, they want you to delve in before you get to it. In other words, they don't want to put it right at the beginning. Otherwise, people close the book and say, listen, I did the major part, I'm going to close it here. Say, no, we're going to let you learn a little bit, get the other stuff as first, and then we'll put the major stuff. So same thing applies to Pirkei Avot. Pirkei Avot is where? And the answer is, it's in a place called Nezikin. We know there are six Shas. Shisha Sidrei Mishnah. Six orders of the Mishnah. The first order of the Mishnah is a thing called Zra'im. Zra'im means seeds. Agriculture. All the laws of agriculture. Zra'im is all the laws of agriculture. The next order of Mishnah is called Moed. Moed is all the laws of
festivals,
Shabbat, Moed. The third order of the Mishnah is Nashim. Does that ring a bell? You guys have a whole track that have a whole order of Mishnah. Women. One order of Mishnah about women. Oh boy.
We should learn that,
right? It's all about... Hey. Rachel, welcome. No, it's not about Nida. It's not true. Nida is not there. Nida is not there, Rachel.
Did you get my message?
Rachel. One second. Rachel. Nida is not in the order of women.
It's not
in. No. Nida is in the order of Taharot, purity.
Oh.
So, a person shouldn't think, women shouldn't associate the two things. There's two separate things. Women is women. Nida is Nida. Two different issues. Nida is in the laws of Taharot, or Seder Taharot. What is in the order of Mishnah, of women? Nashim. Kiddushin, marriage, Ketubot, Bar Ketubah, Gitin, unfortunately, divorce, all this, Sota, Nazir, all this is order of women. It's interesting. And then you have Nezikin. Nezikin is the laws of damages.
Okay.
Now, a person wants to be pious. Mm-hmm. What do you need to learn most? Which laws should you learn? You want to be pious. You want to be a chassid. A real chassid. Not the one with the pious. What should you learn? Path of the just. Very good. Excellent. Path of the just. But it's not talking about the Mishnah. The Mishnah is way before the path of the just. Which? Pirkei Avot. Where is Pirkei Avot? Which order of the Mishnah?
The last one.
Not the last one, but
six.
Close. And the answer is, you learn the laws of Nezikin. A person wants to be a chassid, a person wants to be pious. The Talmud says, learn the laws of damages. Not to damage your
neighbors
and friends. The first thing you have to learn to be pious is how not to damage others. Person wants to be pious, but they damage this one, they rebuke this one harshly, they shame this one, they embarrass this one. That guy is a danger menace. He's a menace to society. That person's a menace to society. Because they're damaging. They're damaging people. Person wants to be pious, first learn how not to damage other people. And where do we find Pirkei Avot? Right there. The laws of damages. Laws of damages. Why the laws of damages? Because when it comes to human relations, that's when you need the most ethics. Ethics are for people and people. ethics between man and God is not such a major issue, because God forgives and forgets, but man does not. Man does not forgive and forget. Yes, God forgives and forgets, whereas man does not forgive and forget. Unfortunately. I had an issue with someone else. I don't forgive. Oh, what kind of person are you? You're an animal. I didn't say that, but I think he's an animal. Why is he an animal? Because he should be easygoing. A person should learn to be easygoing. The Talmud says a person should learn to be easygoing. Why? If you're easygoing with other people, Hashem will be easygoing with you. If you're not easygoing with other people, Hashem says, I'm going to act like you. Be easygoing. Always be easygoing. Be easy to forgive, easy to forget. Be easygoing. We're going to talk about it. Pirkei Avot talks about it. That's why it's important to have ethics when dealing with other people. Even when you're getting damaged, there's an ethic of how to behave. You smack him in the face, what do you do? The guy hits you, what do you do? So obviously you have to stand up for your rights, but you have to do it in a nice way. There's nice ways of doing things, and not wrong ways of doing things. The right way is to take him to the Beit Din. You don't smack him back, you don't take vengeance. No, loti kom veloti tor. You take him to the Beit Din. You take him to court, you don't take vengeance in your own hands. Anyway, so we had four orders of the Mishnah so far. We had Zra'im, agriculture, which is where the laws of brachot are. Because when you eat agriculture, you have to say brachot. Moed, we have the laws of festivals, holidays, and Shabbat. And we have Nashim, women. We had all the laws of marriage and divorce and Puruvu, having children. It's all of the laws of women. And then we have the laws of damages, which is where Pirkei Avot is. So Pirkei Avot is right the fourth of the sixth. The sixth order of the Mishnah, it's in the fourth order of the Mishnah. So now you've got to learn the whole Mishnah to the fourth order. Hey, Pirkei Avot, finally I found it. It's great, we found it. Pirkei Avot, we found it. Because the danger is, if I put it, really I should put it right at the beginning. But if I put it right at the beginning, people say, that's enough for me. I just read Pirkei Avot. Beautiful, that's where I'm going to stop. Rabbi said, you know what, we're going to put it like a jewel. We're going to hide it, the jewel. And when you get to the jewel, you say, wow, it's worth learning all the first four to get to this stage. So anyway, so we have Kodeshim and Tarot. Kodeshim is all the laws of the sacrifices, and Tarot, the laws of purity. To be pure, according to it is Truma, for a person to go to the Beit HaMikdash, you've got to be pure, it's all the laws of purity. That's where the laws of Nida are, in the laws of purity. They're not in, it's interesting, it's not in the laws of women. Okay, we are now moving on. We're in chapter 2. And we are talking about Rabban Gamliel. So who was Rabban Gamliel? And we said Rabban Gamliel was the son of Rabbi Yehuda Nasi, Rabbi Judah the Prince. Rabbi Judah the Prince was a descendant of Hillel, the great Hillel. Mm-hmm. You can't compare it to Hillel. Hillel was, Hillel, it says, had 80 students. 80 students. Hillel had 80 students. He came from Babel. He was a poor man, very poor man. He would be a wood chopper and sell firewood. That was his job. He would sell firewood, which I guess only applies in the wintertime in Israel. And he would learn Torah. And one day it says he ran out of money, and he stayed on top of the Beit Midrash. Remember that? Right. On the skylight, and he froze over there, and they had to break Shabbat for him. Anyway, he becomes the chief rabbi. Hillel becomes the chief rabbi. Becomes the Nasi, the prince. And from that time on, all his descendants become the prince of Israel. His descendants. So it's a dynasty. Made a dynasty. Hillel. Right? So Hillel's dynasty includes Rabbi Yehuda Nasi, the Jew, the prince. Yes. Nasi is the prince. There's two greats. You had a period of the Zugot, what calls the Zugot, the period of the pairs. You had a Nasi and you had an Abedin. You had two great rabbis. One was called the Nasi. One got the privilege of being called the title of the prince. Really, he should be the king of Israel. He was under the Romans. They didn't want to fight with the Romans. So they didn't say he's a king. He's the Nasi. But he had a lot of power. And underneath him was the Abedin, the head of the Abedin. So you had the period of the Zugot. Shmaya and Aftalion, Hillel and Shammai. So you have a period of it's called the Zugot. Until we get the period where there's no Zugot. You have a period of Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai, he was the only one. And then you had Rabbi Yehuda Nasi, and you have now Rabban Gamliel. So last week we discussed the importance of including Torah and the work. Remember? We talked about last week we included it's good to learn Torah and do work. Why? Because the person will be so tired, they won't be able to do any sins. They'll be totally occupied. The idea of the Torah is to keep you busy. Keep you out of mischief. Person learning Torah, person's doing work, person's volunteering, doing mitzvot, no time for mischief. The worst thing you have is a person with time on their hands. A person with time on their hands are the most dangerous, especially children. But adults also. Adults can do a lot of mischief. Time on their hands.
So what comes first? Work or...
So there's okay, so obviously what do you need? So if you look at the order of the day is you go to pray. Then you learn Torah. And then you have breakfast. And then you learn Torah again. And then you go to work. Okay. So the Shulchan Aruch says 3 hours learning Torah. Sorry, 3 hours work and 9 hours Torah.
Okay.
And that's why I became a rabbi, because you can't find a job like that. 3 hours work, 9 hours learning Torah. How do you learn Torah? So the Gemara says, Ishalesh et zman limudo. The person should split their time of learning Torah into three parts. The written law, the Gemara, and then Halakha. Three parts. So a person should... three parts. First learn Tanakh. 3 hours Tanakh. Mm-hmm. Torah, Nevi'im, Ketuvim, the written law. Then you learn 3 hours Mishnah and Talmud, and 3 hours Halakha, which is Jewish law. And then you go to work. And the Gemara says in Kiddushin, and the Kiddushin says, Le'olam yilamed adam avodah, you teach your son a trade, which is kala v'nikiya, light and clean. Light and clean. What do you mean light and clean? Easy to do. Doesn't make you exhausted, and it does not involve dirt. So a Jew should not be a garbage collector, for example. It's called today white collar work. Jews should do white collar work, which is exactly what Jews do, right? White collar work. Why? So that when you come home, you can learn Torah because you don't and not exhausted. It shouldn't be back breaking labor. Shouldn't make you exhausted. The trouble is today we're weak, so every little work makes us exhausted. But it shouldn't make you back breaking labor. And also, when you're working, you should be able to think Torah. So if it's dirty, dirty labor, you can't think Torah. So it should become something clean. You can think about God when you're working. You know the joke is the person comes to the rabbi. He says, when I'm praying, I can't get my business out of my mind. I'm thinking about my business. Instead of praying, thinking about God, I think about my business. So the rabbi says, okay, when you're in your business, think about God. If when you're praying, you think about your business, when you're doing your business, think about God. It's always both ways. So you need to have a clean trade to be able to think about God in your trade.
So according to this, you can't be a garbage collector if that's the job you can get.
It's not a Jewish ideal. That's the only thing you can do.
Jewish, a religious, let's say a garbage collector.
You used to see in Israel. Plastic. You used to? Not anymore.
Really?
They're all Arab.
Who's going to do all the dirty work in Israel?
Someone has to do it.
Oh, Israel, that's something
else. Someone has to do it,
it's
but you know what?
Fortunately, it's mostly the Arabs.
Yeah, exactly. Now, today, it's not. Anyway, I saw once, there's a beautiful story. This is a story from a book called The Tzaddik in Our Time. I highly recommend that book. A beautiful book called The Tzaddik in Our Time. If you've seen it, it's by Simcha Rav. It's about Rav Aryeh Levin. Rav Aryeh Levin was known as the Tzaddik of Yerushalayim. Rav Aryeh Levin. And in those days, the Jews were the garbage collectors. And one day, he was up early, before he went to Shacharit, and he sees the garbage collector, he says, you're doing such a big mitzvah, Ashrecha, he tells the garbage collector, praise to you. The guy says, huh? So what are you talking about? He says, thank you so much for cleaning up our streets, we wouldn't be able to pray without you. He says, thank you, Rabbi. And now I feel something, I feel some goodness about myself. I have very low self-esteem, but thank you so much. He says, you're cleaning the streets of Yerushalayim. You get mitzvah, you get reward, you get tremendous reward. So you have to remember that. I was reading yesterday, the Pele Yoetz. We have in our book somewhere, Rav Eliezer Papo. Have you heard of him? The Pele Yoetz was a great Sephardic rabbi in Bulgaria. In Bulgaria, he's buried in Bulgaria. And every year they take a group of people at his grave, at his yard site. Anyway, he wrote a book called, what did I say? Pele Yoetz. What's Pele Yoetz mean? It's based on a pasuk. Pele Yoetz, amazing advice. Pele Yoetz, amazing advice. We have it here in English somewhere. It's a yellow book. But if you can get your hands on that as well, it's the second book I recommend. His first book is A Tzaddik in Our Time. If you can get it somewhere in a library, I'm sure AA has it somewhere. I'm sure they have it in the library. We have it in our library somewhere if you can find it. Tzaddik in Our Time. And number two is Pele Yoetz. Very, very beautiful book. Good advice. He says over there, when a person sins, it's like throwing garbage in God's palace. I mean, he's trying to explain, what should a perspective be when a person thinks of I sinned? What's your perspective? So your perspective should be, I just threw garbage in Hashem's palace. Because Hashem, the whole world belongs to Hashem. La Hashem ha'aretz u'mlo'ah. David HaMelech says in Tehillim, Psalm number 24. La Hashem ha'aretz u'mlo'ah. The whole world belongs to God. So I'm taking my garbage and throwing it into God's palace. What do you have to do? Two things, he says. Number one is teshuva, say sorry. And number two is clean it. You have to clean up. So the same thing applies. That's a very important idea. If you're cleaning the streets of Yerushalayim, you're cleaning God's palace. That's what he told the garbage collector. So you're doing a tremendous mitzvah. Thank you so much. He says, wow, Rabbi. He says, you made me feel good, finally. Feel good now. Now I can go home and smile. He's down and out, you know. So it's a tremendous mitzvah. It's to sweep up the floor of the shul. It's a big mitzvah. There's a mitzvah in the Beit HaMikdash called Trumat HaDeshen. What's Trumat HaDeshen? Early in the morning, the first job of the Kohen in the morning was to throw out the ashes of the Korbanot, which, you know, all night they were burning the Korbanot in the Beit HaMikdash, and they'd take it and clean up the ashes. That's called Trumat HaDeshen. It was the first mitzvah given to a Kohen in the morning. And at first, the Kohen would have to run and do it. Whoever came first would do it first. So they all run to do this mitzvah. Imagine. What was the idea? The idea was to make them humble. I'm cleaning God's. If a person thinks I'm cleaning God's palace, you feel good about yourself. You just say I'm throwing out the garbage, you don't feel good about yourself. But people don't realize it's such a big mitzvah. A person has garbage at home.
Oh boy, my husband's got so many mitzvahs.
That's right. Every time he throws out the garbage, he's doing a mitzvah. What mitzvah is he doing? Chesed. He's doing you a kindness.
Sure.
It's a big mitzvah. There was a rabbi, he was learning in Kollel. He wouldn't throw the garbage. His wife says, can you throw the garbage? He says, no. I learn in Kollel, you throw the garbage. So she called his Rosh Kollel.
Really?
Said, my husband says there's not his kavod, his honor to throw out the garbage. He learns all day, Torah, I shouldn't throw out the garbage. He said, okay, he says, what time shall I come? The Rosh Kollel came and he threw out the garbage. He knocks on the door. The husband opens the door. He says, Rabbi, what are you doing here? He said, I came to throw out your garbage. He said, what? Well, you won't throw it out, I'm throwing it out. So, okay, don't bother, I'll do it myself.
That was a good way of getting it.
Very good way. Very, very good way. It's a great story. So it's very important. People don't realize that chesed. Olam chesed ibaneh, the world will be created. Chesed. And that's how do we know this? Because Noach was busy a whole year. What was he doing?
Cleaning them, feeding them the animals and cleaning up after them.
He was doing chesed. He was feeding animals 24/7. And that's why when he got out of the ark, he was such a relief, he just wanted to get drunk. It's tragic.
That was the problem.
So from being Noach Ish Tzadik, he became Noach Ish Adama. He became the man of the ground. Tremendous crash. Noach crashed.
Right.
Why did he crash? Totally depressed. The whole world is destroyed. It's hard to imagine. It's very hard to imagine. So we don't know what he went through. It's a terrible tragedy. Terrible tragedy. And then they suddenly castrated him. Whatever. A disaster. It was a disaster. Okay, we are moving on. Now we are talking about Rabban Gamliel. And we are now on Mishnah 4. We're in Mishnah 4, chapter 2. And we're in the middle of Mishnah 4. And now the Mishnah is going back to Hillel. Oh, lovely. Going back to Hillel. Hillel, the great-great-grandfather. Hillel Omer. This is such important advice. Number one, Al tifrosh min atzibur. Do not leave the community. What happens is people have fights. People have fights. People get angry at people. They say, you know what? Heck with everyone. I don't like Jews anymore. I'm going to live by myself on a desert island. They go separate themselves from the Jewish community. First step to assimilation. They may know about Judaism. Their children will not learn about Judaism. They don't go to Jewish schools. If they don't have Jewish teachers, they don't go to shul, they won't even see anything around them. They won't even know anything about Judaism. They're going to assimilate completely. They're gone. So number one is don't separate from the community, even if you have an argument with someone. That's very important. Community is number one priority. Now, it's interesting. The word for community is the word tzibur. Tzibur, tzadik bet resh. Tzadik stands for tzadikim. Bet stands for benonim, intermediary. And resh stands for reshaim. Community includes
everyone.
Community means a community. Community includes everyone. And the Gemara says, if you have no reshaim in the community, it's not a community. It's not a community.
That's true.
It's not considered a community. How do we know? We learn it out from the incense.
From the what?
Every day there was ketoret. What's ketoret? Incense. Incense in the Beit HaMikdash. Every day, twice a day. Half a kavet, half a handful in the morning, and half in the evening. Every day he had incense. Machasito b'boker, machasito ben arbay. Every day the Kohen had to bring incense. Why? Because the temple had to smell good. The Rambam says in Moreh Nevuchim, the Beit HaMikdash had to smell good. Just like the department stores, they have deal. You go to Macy's. Starts up. Why? Because nice smell attracts people. You can't stand it? Too bad. That's why in the front. Why? Because good odors attract people. Foul odors make people run away. If you want to get rid of someone, just make a foul odor. They're gone. So we see the importance of good odors. The incense in the Beit HaMikdash had a beautiful odor. Smell attracted people. He said, wow, this is great. Why? Because the Beit HaMikdash really was an abattoir. People don't realize that. It was an abattoir. It was a butcher's place. Why? That's why they bring korbanot. People don't realize. The korban's burning. You're making a smell of steak.
Right.
Steak. It stinks of steak. So they have the incense. Now the incense had 11 spices. One of the 11 spices, they all have beautiful smells except for the chelbena. Chelbena. The galbanium. Chelbena, whatever it's translated, galbanium, had a terrible smell. So there the rabbi said, now, just like the chelbena was part of the incense is not kosher without that ingredient, so too a person's prayers will not be kosher without the Rasha's prayers amongst you. If there's no bad guy in the minyan praying, the prayers are not valid.
Okay, which one of us?
We don't check. But you know what? No problem. It's not a problem. There's always someone around. But listen, who knows?
Somebody else.
Okay, we don't know. Let's not point fingers at anyone. We don't know. We don't know. Only God knows who is good, who is bad. We don't know. We don't know.
You mean the man in the back of the shul hutah?
That's right.
Okay, let's move on.
And they don't listen.
Okay. Don't remove yourself from the community. Very, very important advice. Number one, don't remove yourself from the community. You can imagine people saying, listen, I don't be Jewish anymore. I pretend I'm going to be a goy. I'm not Jew. So it's like the Jew wanted to join the country club, right? In those days where they weren't allowed Jews. So he had to go for training to speak with a very good accent. So he went for training and he started speaking very nicely. And he comes in and with his Rolls Royce and his... what's your name? He says, I'm Mr. Bartholomew Pratt. He says, yes, and he says, and what is your religion? Goy. So,
that's very good.
So he separated himself from the community. People separate themselves from the community and they don't realize what's it going to do to their children and grandchildren that got lost. It's very important to be part of a community. So today we're lucky. Why? How many shuls in town? 8? I don't know. You don't like this one? Go to another one. At least you go to community. You can't like, you don't like this rabbi? Go to the other rabbi. You don't like this one? Go there. Baruch Hashem. There's no problem. There's no problem of finding communities in this town. It's very easy to find a community. You don't like this one? Go to this one. Go shul hopping. Okay. Oh, we're just finishing off. I skipped. Valtad is very important now. Valtamin batzbechad yomotcha. And a person should not trust themselves until the day of their death. What does that mean? That means we have a yetzerah. A person says, you know, I'm old. Yetzerah, no problem. Wrong. He's right there with you. And he's telling you that. Who's telling you you have no problem with the yetzerah? Yetzerah himself. He's telling you, don't worry about the yetzerah. You're fine, yeah. And the yetzerah when you get older is worse than the yetzerah when you're younger. Because the yetzerah when you're younger, it's a physical yetzerah. I want to eat good food, I want to do other things I can't tell you about. But the yetzerah when you get older, it's a different yetzerah. It's the yetzerah of your mind and your speech. A person's mind. He thinks this guy's bad, this guy's bad.
You mean I can't become a crotchety old woman?
You can't what?
Become a crotchety old woman?
You cannot. It's all in the mind and in the speech. Because you're older. Can't do whatever. There's a beautiful story in the Talmud. Also the Arizal. Arizal's student was passing away. And he's in his bed, sick. And the other students say, you still have a Yetzara? You still have your Yetzara? He says, I still have my Yetzara. You know what it's telling me? He says, say Shema loud when you die. This way everyone will say you're a big big tzaddik. The Yetzirah is telling him to show off before he dies. Say the Shema loud. Make a big scene when you die. So people say, hey, he died. He's a big tzaddik, this guy. He said Shema loud. Imagine. It was show off. That's the Yetzirah. Show off when you're religious. That's the Yetzirah. Flaunt it. Flaunt yourself. Big, grow beard. Flaunt yourself. You're the big shot. That's the Yetzirah. Because it feels like I got there already. I'm arrived. I've arrived. You've arrived? That's the Yetzirah. Because no one arrives. No one ever arrives. Because Hashem is infinite. And walking to Hashem is infinite. The road, the path to Hashem is infinite. So you reach this path, okay, you may be above everyone else, but you're still a long way to go. And that's why it says Moshe Rabbeinu was the most humble of all men. If anyone can say they arrived, it's Moshe Rabbeinu. But Moshe Rabbeinu knows he never arrived. How? Because he could see Hashem. He had the clearest glimpse of God. He knows he's infinite. He says, where am I compared to God? I'm a zero. So that's why he remained humble, because he was closest to Hashem. When you have Hashem in front of you, how can you say, I've arrived? Arrived what? Look at Hashem. Hashem is so great. And who are you? So, anyway, so a person should not trust themselves. Look at the language over here. Who do you trust the most? Which person do you trust the most? Most people trust themselves the most. Don't trust yourself. What do you mean, don't trust yourself? Because I don't know which way I'm going to go tomorrow. I don't know which path I'm going to take, even in an hour's time. If I had a test now, I don't know which way I'm going to go. We pray every day. What do we pray? Loli de nisayon. Veloli de bizayon. Please, Hashem, don't test us and don't shame us. Who is the one who paid for a test? Who prays for a test? David HaMelech. David HaMelech says to Hashem, this is the Gemara in Shabbat. Hashem, why is the Shemoneh Esrei saying, Elokei Abraham, Elokei Yitzhak, Elokei Yaakov, where's Elokei David? So Hashem says, they passed tests. They all passed their test. So give me a test. It's okay. I'll give you a test. I'll even tell you what your test is going to be. Your test is going to be a beautiful woman. So beautiful woman? I got 18 wives. Problem. I got 18 wives. So another one, what's the problem with women? I got 18 wives. So it says he busied himself with his wives, and he was satisfied, and then he goes up on the roof one night, and he sees this woman going into this pool. This is the one I want. He has 18 wives. He wants that one. And he failed the test. He failed the test. So we learn from there, Al Tamin Batzmacha. He trusts himself. He says, I can pass any test. I love you, Hashem. How could I do anything wrong? It's always possible. So that's a person who should say to themselves, don't trust yourself. Don't trust yourself, even till the day of one's death.
His son from her became.
Son from her, one of 1,000 wives. Huh? His son from her became 1,000 wives.
Right.
But it wasn't the first son. The first one's son died.
True.
That was his. That was part of the punishment, but it was a long. It wasn't adultery. It was not adultery. It was not adultery. Why wasn't it adultery? The Gemara says, because they would divorce their wives before they went to a war. In case he was missing in action, he was divorced already. But the understanding was, when he left, I'll come back and marry you. So they broke that understanding. That was the thing they broke. Okay, so number one, don't separate yourself from the community. A person should not believe in themselves. I'm a tzaddik. Yeah, I'm a great tzaddik. Yeah, okay, Hashem says, okay, that's when you fall. When a pride leads to a fall, the person says, I'm the big tzaddik, that's where the biggest test comes. It's very hard. A person should be careful not to say, I'm a tzaddik. Say, who am I? Please, Hashem, don't test me. Exactly. I don't trust myself. We pray every morning, don't test me, don't test me. There's many kinds of tests, that's not trouble. A person says, I'm great in this area. Yeah, Hashem says, I'll teach you a lesson. Number three, don't judge your friend unless you get into his shoes. Now look at the language over here. Ad shetagia limkomo. Until you get to his place. You can't judge other people unless you know what they're going through. Oh boy, I have no idea. What is he going through? I have no idea. I don't know what he's going through. So how can I judge him? In other words, we're not talking about over here a judge. We're not talking about a Jewish judge over here. A judge has to judge. That's his job. We're talking about a guy on the street. Why do you have to judge other people? You don't have to judge them. All you have to do is know, should I associate with him or not? Should my kids associate with him or not? That's it. But if I don't need to associate with him, why do I need to judge him? I need to judge him. I see the guy passing the street. He looks a bit strange. Okay. Might have to pay attention and judge him. Unless it's something to do with business. If I have nothing to do with him, why do I need to judge him? Don't judge people unless you need to do something with them, then you have to need to know. V'al tomar davar she'i efshar lishma. And don't tell a secret. Don't say, no one will ever hear this. Nobody will ever hear this. I can say this. She'sofo lishamea. Eventually they will hear it. Today especially, look what happened in Turkey, right? This guy goes into the Saudi embassy, and we don't know what happened. He disappeared. They have a recording. His iWatch was on, sending the recording to his iPhone, which his girlfriend had in the car. The Turks say they have a recording of him being interrogated and being killed.
Oh,
really?
Yeah.
I mean, this is the Mishnah right here. They should have known this Mishnah. They didn't know this Mishnah. Don't tell them the Mishnah. The Mishnah says, don't say something. Today we don't know. The guy's walking around. His phone may be on recording. He may have a recorder. He may have this. Wired. Today people are wired. The guy's wired. He comes to the FBI to have a guy wired. You want to know? Don't say something which is a secret and say, no one will ever find it. Wolves have ears.
You are so nice.
And the best way to get something out is just tell people it's a secret. Shh! Don't tell anyone.
Say it in front of your kids. That's the best way to have it.
So don't tell anyone. You say it's a secret, that's the end of the thing. That's definitely not a secret. But you know what? It's a good advertising routine. It's a good advertising routine. And my cousin, he's amazing. If you know any older women, he's a cousin, he's a Cohen, that's the problem. So he's still available. He's 64. He's the most eligible bachelor. He has a house in Israel. He has a house in London. Very eligible bachelor. But he's a Cohen, unfortunately. He's never got married. So, but if you know of anyone, he likes shopping. He likes to go shopping. He's coming here on a plane, and he sees they give him a book about London, about New York. And in the New York book, he says, New York's best secret. Century 21 department stores.
Oh, gosh.
So he comes to me. He arrives on the plane. I said, what's New York's best secret? I said, what are you talking about? He said, I'm going to go to New York's best secret. I said, what are you talking about? Century 21 department stores. Because he heard the word secret. And secret. Now I'm going to go and find out what it is. So that's an advertising. Look how they advertise. Advertising is you tell someone it's a secret. I bet I want to know. It's a secret. Okay. So a person shouldn't think, I can keep this a secret. I'll only tell one person. I'll only tell two people. If you tell three people, there's an opinion that says, apetlat. Even if you say lashon hara, they're allowed to repeat it. Obviously, there's many conditions. Why? Because once you tell three, it's like you told the world.
Right.
One of them is definitely going to... Where do we find this? It's an interesting Gemara. The Gemara says there were three rabbis discussing Rome. But there was another guy over there listening. Okay. Three rabbis discussing Rome. One rabbi, Rabbi Yehuda, says, the Romans are the best. What? Yeah, look, they made beautiful roads. They made beautiful marketplaces. Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai said, the roads they made to collect tolls. Like the New Jersey Turnpike. They made the road to collect the tolls. The New Jersey Turnpike, the Turnpike and the Parkway, they made the road to collect the tolls. And they made the marketplaces to put their brothels. The third rabbi kept quiet. He was smart, he kept quiet. So the Romans eventually hear what happened. See, the rabbi that praised us, we're going to appoint him the chief rabbi. He's going to be the chief rabbi now. He gets first chance to speak. The rabbi spoke against us, we're going to kill him. Who is that? Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai. We all know the real Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai ran into the cave. Why did he run away? Because the Romans wanted to kill him. Why did they want to kill him? Because he said bad things about them. And the other rabbi, we're going to banish him. Because he didn't say anything good, he didn't say anything bad, but he didn't say anything good. He's going to be banished. So that's why Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai ended up in the cave in Meron, in Pekin. The cave was in Pekin. Anyway, so we see over here, a person should be careful. What you say, what a person says and say, is never going to get out. Oh no, you're never going to get out? Look at all the trouble in Trump and this one and that one. All because of whatever they say is going to get out. Whatever you do is going to get out. There's nothing you keep secret today. Nothing.
Why is Bar Yochai associated with Lag
BaOmer? Okay, good question. So they say because he died on Lag BaOmer. And the Zohar says, Idra Rabba. The Idra was a threshing floor where they gathered him and his students. And it says when he died, the whole house was surrounded by fire. He was giving over the secrets of the Torah at that time, and the whole house where he was staying was covered. That's the reason why they had bonfires to resemble the fire of his Torah. The fire of his Torah. So he passed away on Lag BaOmer. Some people say he passed away on Lag BaOmer. We're celebrating the fact that he passed away naturally, natural causes. They wanted to kill him. He survived, and he passed away from natural causes. So we're celebrating the fact that he passed away from natural causes. Number two, he says, don't mourn my death. Why? Because when I die, I'm going to go to where I want to be. I'm going to get closer to Hashem. Don't mourn for me. So from there came the Hasidic custom of not mourning any tzaddik death. They celebrate that tzaddik's death with the schnapps and no tachanun. So nearly every day there's no tachanun. Okay. So, depends which way you look at it. Is death good or bad? And the answer is, Shlomo Melech says, death is the best thing. Death is better than the day of death, is better than the day of birth. B'yom ha-mavet, b'yom hivaldo. Why? Why is death so good? He says, if it wasn't for death, people would not try and accomplish anything. People would say, I got a long time to live, I got plenty of time, I'll do it tomorrow. And tomorrow, next year, I'll do it next year, I got 1,000 years to live. Adam Rishon, 930 years. Noah, 950 years. Metushelach, 969 years. I'll do it tomorrow, what's the problem? I've got another 900 and, how many years more? I got 930 years more to go. Me, 940 years to go if I live 1,000, not bad. I want to rush. Why do they need to give so many classes? I'll give a class. You know, guys, we'll give a class next month. Maybe next year. So no, Yom HaMavet first. Why? It encourages us to get moving. The person knows they have an end. And the end is near. Run, let's do it quickly. We have no time to lose. Shlomo Melech says. It's a check. In other words, if you never have to leave the job, if you have to leave at 5 o'clock, you have a deadline. If there's no deadlines, lazy, slow, let's enjoy life. That's what happened. Hashem altered their time span, right? The lifespan was altered in yesterday's Parsha. Noah, what happened? All of a sudden, it dwindles to 120. What do you tell a person who's 120 years old? Have a good day. Wait if you laugh. Huh?
Because you can't say Abed
Esrim anymore. Here's me, Abed Esrim. He's 120 years old. What do you tell him? Have a good day. It's a hard one. Okay, but that's it. Life is... So, is that good or bad? And the answer is, Shlomo Melech says it's very good. And that's, he's the king. He could enjoy himself for 1,000 years. Imagine, if I wouldn't have known that there's a time limit, I wouldn't have written Kohelet, I wouldn't have written Mishle, I wouldn't have written Shir HaShirim, I wouldn't write anything. I wouldn't learn anything. You know why? I have plenty of time. That's what they did. They fooled around. The old-timers fooled around for 10 generations. We're going to get to one of the fascinating Mishnah. Oh, maybe I'll sneak it in now. I'm going to stop. We're going to stop in 2 minutes. One of the most fascinating Mishnayot in the 5th chapter. So we got to wait, okay? Wait, 5th chapter. But what it says is there's 10 generations between Adam and Noah.
Right.
Why? Why? And there's 10 generations between Noah and Abraham. Why? He says to teach you God's patience. Hashem waited 10 generations for one man. Imagine. Hashem waited 10 generations for one Noah to come along. And then he had waited 10 generations for Abraham to come along. Think about Hashem's patience. So we have to learn from Hashem. Patience. Okay, we'll continue next week. Bezrat Hashem. And